The great outdoors is a place of enjoyment, peace, and solitude. But at times, the outdoors experience goes dark. Increasingly, outdoors lovers are encountering criminal elements, psychos, dangerous wildlife, and strange weather occurrences. Our goal is to raise awareness by equipping you with cutting-edge information and to shine light into the dark outdoors. Welcome to Dark Outdoors. This is Chester Moore. A father and son were driving out from an evening hunt on their deer lease in the heart of some of the greatest whitetail deer hunting in the South Texas brush country. But they could have never imagined what was coming next. When black Suburbans pulled in front of them, masked men with military-grade assault rifles approached their truck, flung the door open, and stared them right in the eyes. One of the men spoke English and said, "Close your eyes and turn your head and you'll be okay." So the father and son complied. A few minutes later, as they're waiting thinking they may be killed, they hear a couple of vehicles come from a road junction just ahead. What seems like hours go by was just a few minutes, and the man who spoke to them said, "Keep your eyes closed for a few more minutes and we're going to leave. And you will be okay if you listen." So they heard all the vehicles leave. They waited like 5 minutes, opened their eyes, and there was no one there. This story was told to me in anonymity by one of the two who was held at gunpoint. All I had to do was keep the names and the exact location of their deer lease because they wanted people to know the real dangers that are out there. But they didn't want their name attached to this because without any doubt, what they encountered on that evening just a deer season ago was an organized crime element and one that could have very easily taken their lives. Their suspicion that there was some kind of package dropped or something like that on the property. But of course, they never told officials because they were terrified of what the consequences might be. Hey, and I don't blame them. The border is in the news right now. It's maybe more controversial than ever. But what's getting left out of the conversation are the dangers along the border in the outdoors realm. Look, I know that there are good people simply looking for work coming across the border. But the fact is, there have been people that are tied to terrorist networks, all kinds of organized crime. There are serial killers and all kinds of things that have come across the border. And the people most likely to encounter them in remote places are either the landowners along the border, hunters, fishermen, backpackers, and hikers. And this episode of Dark Outdoors is dedicated to raising awareness to what's really going on in the border area, especially in my home state of Texas. To get a real idea of what's going on along the border, I went to a law enforcement official in one of the most remote areas of not only Texas, but the lower 48. I interviewed Brewster County Sheriff Ronnie Dodson about the issues they encounter in their county and the difficulty of enforcing issues in a county so large and so remote and what they come across. Sheriff Dodson, welcome to the program. To get people an idea of what you are having to deal with out there, tell us how big the area you have to cover is out in Brewster County.
Well, Brewster County, 6,198 square miles. You know, we're just about 200 square miles bigger than the state of Connecticut.
Wow.
We have 193 miles of border with Mexico. You know, we have towns, we have Terlingua and Lajita, which are from the county seat. One's 96 miles away and the other's about 85 miles. And then we have Marathon, which is 35. A lot of people don't realize that Brewster County actually goes right underneath Sanderson, which is only about 6 miles below Sanderson. It does stretch out there pretty good.
In relation to the border and the remoteness of the county, what are some particular challenges you have of enforcing law out there and just covering the county?
Well, you know, in the very beginning, when I first became sheriff 20-some-odd years ago, it was hard because I didn't have any help. I rely a lot on my ranchers. I rely a lot on people who live along the border and, you know, even right here in town. But, you know, as time has progressed, you know, I'm up to 24 officers now. Mm-hmm. Now, not all of them are actually on patrol there. You know, some are assigned to HIDA and some are assigned to the task force. And of course, the school resource officers. So basically, there's only really 10 officers that are actually patrolling the county. And with some of the money we got from the governor, we've added a couple more.
A few years back, a rancher friend of mine told me that, you know, for years, people coming across the border might, you know, break into their cabin, but they would clean it up, maybe take the food, drink some water or whatever. Now, he says, a lot of times things are getting ransacked and destroyed. There seems to be a different element, at least at some level, coming across the border.
Well, I think, you know, yes, there is some criminal element, but also I think it's a different generation mm-hmm. of migrants that are coming across. They're not as respectful as the older migrants used to be years ago mm-hmm. where they did come in, maybe take some food. Now when they go in, they take jewelry, they take guns, they take anything that they can carry. Now they're not going to take anything big that they have to lug through the desert. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's probably a generational thing. Now there are still, because we do run into them, very respectful, sure. older mm-hmm. Individuals who don't bother us. But they know out here that we're now prosecuting them. If they go into a house, we arrest them. You know, if we catch them or if Border Patrol catches them and we know it's them, they got property or something that belongs to that ranch. But for the most part, you know, the technology's helped us too out here with, you know, Wi-Fi and stuff, these ranches. So we get some camera footage. Mm-hmm. We're getting some stuff, evidence that we used to not ever have. And us ourselves run almost 200 cameras up and down the border. And like I said earlier, the technology, the eyes that we have, those cameras are our eyes, have helped us immensely.
Is there any truth that most people coming across the border are having to have some kind of an organized crime level shakedown or encounter on the Mexican side or an escort to get across the border?
Oh, yeah. And most of these guys are being smuggled right now, mm-hmm. being paying cartels so they can get up to the border. Mm-hmm. A lot of these migrants we'll find that are lost, and they will be out in the country and stuff, and they'll tell us that their guide left them in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just got them walked away, you know, because the guide get them in so far, they know where they're not going to get captured. Mm-hmm. And then they just abandon these poor people out in the desert. And they'll all tell us that how much money they've spent, pay somebody to come over. And it's all, you know, we were heavy into narcotics for a long, long, long time. Mm-hmm. In the last year, I bet we haven't caught 200 pounds in marijuana. It's all been human trafficking. Damn. Everything. There's so much money in it. Mm-hmm. That's where it's coming.
In increasing numbers, people across North America are going missing in the wild. Dark Outdoors is committed to shining light on this topic and raising awareness when public interest in these cases fades away. This week's Missing in the Wild is the case of Teresa Hartley. 66-year-old Teresa Hartley went missing in the Ocala National Forest in Marion County, Florida, March the 10th, 2023. She and a friend were in his truck. The truck broke down, so he went for help. And when he came back, Teresa was gone. Teresa is 66 years old. 5'8" tall, weighs 180 pounds. If you have information, call 352-368-3508. That's 352-368-3508. When you look at the trafficking element, that seems to be a growing thing all around the world. And you think about these people being dumped off and left in a desert, just the amount of water they would have to survive is pretty astounding.
Well, it is. And like I say, a lot of the people we catch or apprehend are give up.
Yeah.
You know, they've run out of water. They've run out of resources. Mm-hmm. This new law that came in effect September, which you could arrest the smuggler. He didn't have to have a dollar amount or anything. You didn't have to prove that he got paid. Mm-hmm. If they have an alien in a car, then they would be able to, you know, you could arrest them for furthering into the United States of any migrant or illegal alien that had come in. So that has sparked some kind of new revolution because we are arresting people daily. We got bailouts. We had 7 bailouts in 11 hours, you know, every night, or we may go a couple of days without one and then here it comes again. But we always figure the nights that we're not going out, that's the nights that we're missed them.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so many coming in, and we're catching repeat offenders, repeat migrants coming in, and, you know, us and our Border Patrol partners are just, I mean, we're flabbergasted at what's going on.
It seems to me with almost an open borders policy that's actually putting people on the Mexican side more in danger. How has this changed the dynamic of what's happening in your area?
Well, it is, you know, and for the most part, you know, this the news media and stuff has publicized Del Rio and the Valley mm-hmm. so much that most of them know that that's an easy haven to get through. To get there,
mm-hmm.
If you get caught, you know, they're going to bus you someplace or take care of you. So, you know, there's not a lot of punishment mm-hmm. for that. The ones we're catching, a lot of ours do become criminal aliens, because if you go through the Del Rio area or the Valley and you're a criminal alien, you go to jail. And so that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get away out here. So a lot of the folks we're catching are criminals from Mexico.
Yeah.
Or people who have fled from here and got caught before and have been deported, and now they're in their reentries and they become criminal aliens. Then there's the poor people that don't know.
Yeah.
And they just saw it was an easy ride in. They, you know, like I say, in the vehicles now with these human smugglers that we got.
I read a lot of the U.S. Border Patrol press releases, and the amount of fentanyl and other narcotics coming through is just mind-blowing. Do you think this trade, including the human trafficking part of this, puts maybe campers, hikers, hunters, and fishermen, maybe some of these remote areas into maybe a more dangerous situation?
You know, what we try to tell folks when they come out, you know, if they see a group or encounter a group, just mm-hmm. ignore them. Try to ignore them, because they don't want attention brought to them.
Yeah.
Any more than you want them, you know, especially the guys going up and down the river.
What's the protocol for your sheriff's department going out maybe and dealing with a skirmish or something in some of these super remote areas?
Well, you know, it's the same. We've got to, we handle it just like we do any call, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we get there, and if we've got, you know, an illegal in a ranch house, you know, we try to get the rancher to keep an eye on them
mm-hmm.
you know, till we get there so we can make an arrest. You know, if they do run, leave out, we try to get them to let us know which direction. And then, you know, we our greatest asset from the state here is the Department of Public Safety's helicopter.
Yeah.
You know, so we can use that in these vast areas. But along the river, as far as that goes, you know, we do have, like I told you, we have cameras and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of stuff that's very important to us, once it gets to us, like smuggling guns into Mexico,
mm-hmm.
by the time we get there, they're already in Mexico. So we don't, you know, it's something we can't catch.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of frustration, you know, when it takes an hour and a half to get to a call.
Sure. How techy are the criminal elements you're coming across in the border area? Are you seeing like military-grade drones, thermal imaging, that kind of stuff?
We absolutely know they have drones. I mean, we uh-huh. spotted them. We've seen them.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain places on the other side of the river that they have high dollar optics where they're watching, you know, our deputies or the Border Patrol up and down the river. They have an old fashioned technology of communication that, you know, been lost for years and years in our society, but we can drive into Terlingua or Lajitas and there are people who know we're there before we get there.
Mm.
I mean, you got to remember, a lot of the people that live in our border area also have family in Mexico.
Sure.
So there's a lot of communication. Mm-hmm. I visited with a guy one time, and he told me, I asked him about the drug trade, and I said, man, don't you feel like you're a drug dealer? And he says, no. I don't touch no drugs. All I do is tell a guy when the checkpoint's open or when it's closed.
Huh.
He said, so I'm not a drug dealer. I'm just telling, and, you know, he gave me a little bit of money, you know, or I know where a gate's open, or I know something. So they don't feel like they're doing anything wrong. And that's the way it is right now with the human smuggling, is people are telling us, some of the smugglers we catch, you know, we're just helping people.
Yeah.
We're just helping people get here. We're not smuggling dope or mm-hmm. anything like that. We're just helping people get to the United States. Of course, they're getting paid for it.
Sure.
And it is against the law. So,
yeah.
But that's their mentality, is that mm-hmm. they're not doing anything wrong, because, you know, dope's bad and marijuana's bad. They're just bringing people. So that can't be that bad.
So for someone hunting, fishing, camping, hiking along the border out in beautiful West Texas, are there any signs that we should be aware of?
Well, you know, if you're a hiker or you're out in the country, you'll find caves that, you know, have, you know, the Virgin Mary and stuff in them, where these are holdups for these people that are smuggling. You know, we actually see arrows pointed on rocks, mm-hmm. or we see stacks of rocks, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. You know, that doesn't mean they're there right now.
Sure.
But those are points where that people are traveling, they're following.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they look for water tanks. They know where stuff like that is, you know. We just, if a hiker or somebody's out there and they do spot somebody, we try to tell them, you know, if not to pick someone up,
yeah,
and further them in, because they get caught with an illegal in their car, where nobody's going to believe their story. Oh, I was just trying to do this, you know. Uh-huh. It's just, right now, there's so many. What they do is, if they see somebody in need, they need to give them their water. If they got water, give them stuff. Don't let them die.
Mm-hmm.
Let them have, you know, give them the water, and then as soon as you get to where you got cell service or something, call and let law enforcement know that there's individuals at a particular spot that need assistance. Now, of course, if you've got someone who is on their deathbed dying,
yeah
you need to load them up and mm-hmm. head towards that checkpoint or someplace. But the minute you get cell service, you need to let someone know, hey, I've got someone who is sick,
yeah,
dying. I don't believe they're from this country. That way you don't get in trouble. You know, humanitarian wise, you need to act.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Just picking up a hitchhiker or, you know, because we don't know that you're, you know, we got a guy here the other day, seems like the nicest fellow in the world, but he said, I just picked up two guys walking. And I said, well, you should have left them your water. And when you got to Lajitas, called in and told somebody, because now look at the trouble it caused.
Pray, prepare, and pack heat. It's time for some dark outdoors defense strategies and techniques. Bear spray can be an incredibly beneficial defense item in your arsenal. You know, even if you're not in an area with bears, there are a lot of places like national parks that you cannot carry a gun. And in the southern United States and in my home state of Texas, we really don't use bear spray so much. That's mainly a thing for the West and up in the North, where there's a lot more brown bears. But black bears are coming back in the South in pretty large numbers, and including in my home state of Texas, we have feral hogs to deal with. But I think carrying bear spray in these national parks and areas where you cannot carry a gun, or maybe you're not comfortable carrying a gun, can be a great defense option. I mean, think about it. If the spray will stop a grizzly, it'll stop a psycho. The border is something that's unfortunately a political football, but it's a real issue. Way back in 2005, I wrote a feature story about human and coyote, like the animal coyote, not the smuggler coyote, interactions. And we'll never forget speaking with a Jim Hogg County landowner who told me he was finding an increasing number of dead illegal migrants on his property. Apparently, they were unprepared for the harsh environment, died in the summer, and it's, you know, a really tough area down there. Really sad stuff. And he told me that the coyotes were eating the bodies, and they were starting to connect humans on their area with being a prey item, and gave a story about his son being surrounded by five coyotes coming in on him on a turkey hunt. And I've heard other things like this. This is stuff the outdoor media is not going to tell you. This is stuff the mainstream media sure isn't going to tell you. But we'll talk about it here on Dark Outdoors, because we're trying to shine light. One of the things that broke my heart the most that I've ever read was the stories of rape trees. And there's a story that was in the UK Daily Mail about 7 or 8 years ago, that in Brooks County. And it talked about rape trees, where smugglers mark a tree with the panties of illegal immigrant women and young girls they rape on their way in. And think of your loved ones experiencing that just because they're maybe wanting a better life, you know. And no matter how you feel about the border, there are good people wanting to come across. And of course, I believe in a secure border and legal migration, but, you know, you can't slight people for wanting a better life. And to think of someone taking advantage of that by raping the women. And of course, you know, there's been all kinds of people saying, oh, that's not true, that's not real. But the fact of the matter is, there's a horror show down there happening for a lot of the people, and a lot of things others simply do not want to talk about. And, you know, hunters and fishermen are along the border all the time, and it's generally safe, but sometimes it's not. And we want to talk about these issues and make people aware how to make smart choices of where to go and what to do when they're out there. One thing's for sure, the criminal elements are getting a lot bolder and pushing way further up than we ever thought. And it's not just on the border on the land, it's also on the water. I was told a story by a former law enforcement officer in an undisclosed area of the Texas coast. And there was a law enforcement boat off the coast with its lights off, watching with thermals. And they see a plane coming very, very low. And the plane goes over this particular location. And then about 5 minutes later, it flies right back, goes over the Gulf of Mexico and heads south, and then gets up into the level where it could be seen on radar. It was evading radar coming in. Obviously, something was being dropped there. I was told this was an area where there was hunting ranches and there were even duck camps and things like that. What if the package missed its mark? Think about that. The people who want to get it are going to get it. This is the kind of stuff we got to be careful for. You heard the story at the beginning of the show. I'm sharing this with you right now. We have to be careful out there. Keep our eyes open. Pray, prepare, and pack heat. If you come across someone and they're hurting, extend a helping hand if you feel led. But always be aware that there are dark, dark, dark elements along the border.
If you would like to share your dark outdoor story, email Chester at chestermoore.com. If you would like a PDF file of my personal survival tips, put survival in the subject line. Read my wildlife writings and follow my Higher Calling Wildlife and Higher Calling Gulf Coast podcast at highercalling.net. Remember, never enter the wild without prayer and preparation.